Welcome to In the Hive. I'm Roger McDonough. Do you ever wish you could work from home? Not have to dress appropriately for the workplace? Not have to fight with traffic to and from the office? Not have to sit in that cubicle with no view under those oppressive fluorescent lights? Wouldn't that be great? Well, if you work for the state of Utah, in certain jobs, you just might get your chance. Last year, the state launched a teleworking pilot program where 136 people worked from home for at least 3 days a week. It was a test to see how people performed and how state offices and others could benefit by keeping some people home. KCBW producer Tim Pierce.
Hey.
Hi, Tim. You spoke with someone who, as part of this pilot program, works from home, right?
Right. But we'll get to that a little bit later. You talked with the lieutenant governor, right? And he kind of spearheaded this whole program, is my understanding.
Yeah, the lieutenant governor and the governor's office of management and budget were in charge of this pilot. And on Monday, they announced that it was a success and that they'd be vastly expanding the program. So to find out more, I spoke with Lieutenant Governor Cox by phone earlier this week. Take a listen. So Utah had a pilot program to let state employees work from home for some part of their work week. What were the kind of parameters of that pilot program? And maybe you can just tell us how it went.
Sure. So the parameters were actually very stringent. There were only certain jobs that we were very deliberate about that would qualify for the telework project. The workers themselves had to work at least 3 days from home and as many as five full time. We had to have a very strict measurements in place for the productivity, and they had to agree to allow us to monitor, of course, their productivity, which we do anyway, but to also monitor other things like their driving habits, what kind of vehicle that they drove, the amount of time and pollution that would come out of that vehicle for their commuting days. And they went through a strict training process where we worked with professionals on how to work from home, as well as their supervisors on how to supervise people who were working from home. And then we measured everything. And we got the results of that. We had 136 teleworkers. And the good news is that we were actually surprised. It beat our own expectations as to what could happen. It was a resounding success. We saw retention rates go up. We saw employee satisfaction rates go up. Very important for the taxpayers of Utah. We saw productivity go up significantly, a lot more than we expected. Wow. It was above 20%. In fact, it was closer to 23% increase in productivity compared specifically against people doing the exact same jobs in the office 5 days a week. And so that's just a huge deal for the state of Utah. It means that we can expand this program. The pollution savings were also very, very big. In fact, greater savings per person than anything else we've tried in the state. Wow. And so that's good for air quality. That's good for traffic. It's good for the need to build buildings. As some of our buildings are starting to age out now, we won't have to build or lease as many buildings as before as we expand this program. And it's especially good for people in rural Utah who can now apply for some of these jobs or who grew up in rural Utah and want to move back and take these jobs with them.
Is that by design? I mean, was that one of the goals of this program, was to make state jobs open to rural populations?
Yeah, in fact, it was the impetus behind this. A couple of years ago, the governor announced his 25,000 rural jobs tour, put me in charge of that. I went and visited all 25 counties off the Wasatch Front, and I come from a telecom background, a rural telecommunications background, and I just realized that the technology had finally caught up with where expectations were maybe a decade ago, but the technology just wasn't there. And even free technology like Google Hangouts and the ability to FaceTime people, things that we just couldn't do 10 years ago when it was very, very expensive to do that. And now with bandwidth being ubiquitous in many of our rural places, there's just an opportunity for this. But it seemed like corporate America had kind of moved on because they tried this 6 or 7 years ago and it didn't work great in many instances, and some it did. But they'd kind of given up on it. And so we decided to be a lot more methodical about it, seeing if we could get some of these jobs, because we're having a hard time hiring people on the Wasatch Front. with unemployment under 3%, and yet we still have high unemployment in rural Utah. It seemed like there was an opportunity to marry the two together.
Well, and the fact that, again, as you said, the state employees were more effective or more productive using this teleworking model is a pretty remarkable thing. You're going to expand this program, as you said. Tell us about that part of this, if you would, a pretty vast expansion.
Yeah, we're excited right now, initially at least, and we think we can actually beat these numbers. But we want to move from the 120 or the 136 that we've been piloting this with now over the last really 8 or 9 months, and expand that over the next 18 months to about 2,500 employees, and again, maybe even more than that, who will have that opportunity. And again, for some of them, it will just be 3 or 4 days a week. They'll still come into the office, but that allows us now to have shared space,
right?
What we call hoteling, where you actually decide, you know, what days of the week you're going to be there, and that frees up. So now you can have two or three people sharing one space. And that's a big deal for the state as well. And again, opening this up for rural people who don't have to come in, or maybe just come in one day a week. But we see a significant expansion on the horizon, and that's going to save a lot of taxpayer dollars.
You mentioned the corporate aspect of this, them having tried it out and saying, you know, maybe this isn't what we want to do. But now, several years later, the state is doing it and seeing success. Is the state hoping to set an example here? And you know, are there other ways of the state providing an incentive to companies out there to implement their own teleworking programs, or is that part of the goal here?
It is part of the goal. And so with some hard numbers like we have now, we're going to go out and share that with corporate America, share that with some of the tech companies here, our experience. And again, being very deliberate about it, that this is where the mistake was made. Before it was just, okay, who wants to work from home? And it's a lot more complicated than that. In fact, I mean, we actually have a psychiatrist that is consulting us on this, who has worked in this space for a long time, because it is different, and it's hard for people at first to kind of give up their space at the office. And how do you stay connected with your team, and how do we be deliberate about that? In fact, what we've seen is we've actually improved some of those metrics because we are more thoughtful about it. We do have now daily meetings where everybody is in the same space together, virtual space together, right? Having these conversations where before it was more happenstance. And so we're sharing some of the best practices and things that we've learned. We'll be sharing that with corporate America and showing them that you can increase productivity and save costs, which is something that we're sure that they will be interested in. And so we're hopeful that expansion will happen. And we think that this has potential outside of just state jobs.
Some positions obviously can't work from home if you are public facing, or if you, you know, you have to move machinery around. There are some state jobs that obviously can't do this. Are there any drawbacks to this program? Have there been any kind of issues that you've encountered that you thought that maybe gave you pause?
Well, it's a very good question and a valid one, and that's why we actually did much of the research on the front end of this, and we looked at failed projects that companies had done, what they did wrong, and we have learned from those. And so we haven't had any major drawbacks, to be perfectly honest, but that's because we didn't say, yes, you know, any job can do it. There are some people who want to, where we just said, no, that's not going to work for your job. So we spent a lot of time studying out which jobs will work. We spend a tremendous amount of time, again, organizing these jobs in such a way that they had to have deliverables and metrics that could be measured, so that we could know if it was working or not. And that's why. So yes, there have been failures, but they were other people's failures, and we're very grateful that we were able to learn from them and make sure that we didn't repeat any of those failures. Now, we do work with employees very closely, again, monitoring their not just their work output, but their mental state as well. We have these conversations very openly, and there will be some employees who struggle with it, who realize, yeah, this, you know, this just doesn't work for me, and that's okay. But what's important is teleworking. Once you start teleworking, it's not just for the teleworker. The entire team then becomes a teleworking team. Even if you're in the office, you're part of this team where teleworking is occurring. So you have to be wired into that. And it takes the entire team to come on board. And those are just some of the lessons we've learned that have made this transition much smoother than we've seen in other instances.
And finally, as you pointed out early, that the air quality impacts and, you know, saving carbon emissions both from a global environmental standpoint, but also preventing commuting into the Salt Lake Valley. That's a big part of this. And 2,500 people, that's a lot of cars off the road.
Yeah, it's a huge part of it. And to your previous question about expanding this into the private sector,
yeah.
One of the things I would really like to do, even if they don't expand wholesale like we're doing, you know, with large portions of the workforce, having red air day plans, like a snow day plan, right, where you can work from home on snow days when people get snowed in, doing the same thing for red air days. So instead of taking, you know, a couple thousand vehicles off the road, what if we could take 50 or 60,000 vehicles off the road? We do know that more than half of our problems on red air days and with bad air come from tailpipes. And so that's a huge opportunity, even if it is, you know, we average maybe 10 to 15 red air days a year, but those are significant days. If we could have the private sector join us on those red air days to get as many cars off the road as possible, we think we could have an even bigger impact.
And that would be predicting the red air day coming and saying, all right, tomorrow is most likely a red air day, please stay home kind of thing.
Yeah, which we do anyway. And so we can tell, I mean, our forecasters are very, very good at this, you know, better than the weather. We can tell when our red air days are going to be, because they always start, we get yellow air days. We can look at the forecast, see where that's going to come and just say, hey, you know, please consider telecommuting on these days and doing more of that. I've actually started doing that as the lieutenant governor. Of course, most of my days are spent here in Salt Lake. I do have a very long commute,
right.
But on red air days now, I'm doing video conferences and trying to work around that as much as possible. And I think that's definitely a place where we can have a significant impact. But if more and more participate, again, employee productivity goes up, but employee satisfaction goes up as well. People are just so much happier when they're not spending an hour to 2 hours in traffic every day.
Is there potential for it to expand beyond the 2,500 people?
Yeah, for sure. I think there are. There are about 22,000 state employees in the state of Utah. So 10% is our goal right now. Again, there are many jobs that just will never qualify. You know, if you work in corrections, you kind of have to show up at the jail. We can't do that remotely. But there are many, many more jobs that could potentially qualify. We'll be watching those very carefully. We're very excited about the possibilities there. And hopefully we can expand that. And again, out to rural Utah, we're hoping to see between 200 and 600 of these initial jobs going to rural Utah. And if we could get a couple thousand jobs eventually out there, that's a game changer.
Spencer Cox, Utah Lieutenant Governor, thanks very much for making the time to speak with me today.
Thank you.
There are currently 136 government employees who have been working from home as part of the teleworking pilot program.
So I wanted to know how successful teleworking was for these people who sit in their homes 3 days a week. What the big differences were between home and office work environments, and how people can stay productive or communicate with their coworkers even when there are so many distractions at home. So I drove to Layton.
Hi, Christopher.
Yep.
Tim,
nice to meet you.
How's it going today?
To chat with a fellow named Chris Hughes.
So I'm the director of purchasing and general services for the state of Utah.
So basically, he oversees the department that buys things for the state. Anything from paper clips, batteries, and toilets, even medical marijuana contracts. Like Chris said, he's the director of his department, so he has about 30 employees that work under him. All but two of them telework at least 3 days a week. And Chris says about half of his employees work remotely every day.
That doesn't mean that they're at home 5 days a week, but it means that they're not coming into the office 5 days a week. Being in the division of purchasing, we try and be very active with the agencies that we serve. And my agents are constantly going out and visiting with the agencies or having to go to site visits for some of these agencies. Given the diverse nature of Utah, it's not uncommon that I have a purchasing agent that's traveling down to San Juan County to show the vendors the exact project that they'll be working on. Or they may be driving up to Box Elder County to look at a project up there. So it gives my agents a lot more flexibility on how they're going to structure their schedules.
With all these people out of the office, has teleworking shown a productivity increase in your department?
Oh, absolutely. We saw a 50% increase in contract reviews. From this time last year, it took a contract about 7 days to get through our office as it was routed through the office with paper and finally would get to my desk for signature. Now it's taking about 3 days, less than 3 days on average, to get these contracts signed. In addition, as you're working in a digital world, we've noticed an increase in the ability to get our solicitations completed, get our work completed. It would take on average 80 days to run a normal solicitation in our office. Now we're down to 20 days, 30 days to get something completed in our office. And that's because of how it's set up, the communication that's needing to occur, that you're a lot more deliberate in your communications and
Chris
wanting
says
to
that
get
teleworking or telecommuting, as it's sometimes called, has proven great for his department. But I wanted to know how. To me, it seems like there are so many more opportunities to slack, to get distracted or not get any work done. Companies like Yahoo, IBM, or even Google generally discourage remote working, saying that's harder to collaborate or work together when you're physically away. But Chris says that's not really a problem for the state.
Some businesses have a really hard time with teleworking because they haven't developed the right processes. They haven't developed the right procedures on how to handle teleworking. They may be a little too flexible with how their employees work. But I think at the state, we've always been very rigid of how we work and when we're expected to work and the expectations of what we need to do in our jobs. So when we're going out to telework, it's just taking us from our office to our homes. And it's allowing us to be able to complete that same work and understand the expectations that are upon us.
So you're saying that because of all the structure and processes that have already been in place for so long, that there are these sort of guidelines that people have to follow, and that they can do that just as well in their home than in their office.
Absolutely, and I think it also plays in line with the technology that's available to us. I think there's a thought of teleworkers of only being able to answer the phone. And that's not true. Is we can do so much more with the technology. We can respond to emails. We can video chat. We can collaborate on the same document in real time. And we have that going on in our office. I don't have any fear of any of my employees taking advantage of the day because I can see when they're active and not active based on their IM. And that gives me a lot of information of what's going on.
He says his department has gone completely paperless, so no longer will contracts sit on a vacant desk for a week because someone's out of town. Now, documents shift between employees so they're always on top of it.
I think teleworking just helps us to focus really much on that and look at those processes to make sure that we're not adding extra steps or that we're not beholden to that old process. I think a lot of times we run into, in business in general, you just get the phrase, that's the way it's always been. And teleworking really made us open up our eyes to say, okay, what can we do differently to maintain the integrity of the process, but cut out some of those steps to make sure that we're still doing what we need to do and to live up to what our requirements are.
Teleworking has become an invaluable benefit for Chris and his team. He says that this ability to work outside of the office has vastly improved a huge turnover rate in his department.
For the Division of Purchasing, we've seen about an 80% turnover in our staff, which we've hired over 40 people over the last 4 or 5 years. And with the staff of just under 30, that's quite a bit of turnover that we've seen. We've only had, over the last 5 years, 3 or 4 people that have lasted the last last 5 years. So we looked into teleworking as something of a benefit. As we've gone out for recruitments, we've seen a younger generation come in and they were looking for a lot of work-life balance. On my staff, I think I have about 13 or 14 that graduated from law school, had gone out, worked for a law firm, had gone out, worked for some other company, and came to the state to find that work-life balance, not having to work 60, 70 hours a week, but wanting to work just 40 hours a week. Yet we were still seeing a high turnover that our employees were lasting less than 18 months, and they ultimately were going to other startup businesses in Utah. So I raised my hand and said, we want to try teleworking because I think it can be a high benefit to our division and what we're trying to accomplish and help us to retain some of our skilled positions. And since we've started piloting teleworking, we've only had a few employees leave, but not for the normal reasons that we were seeing before.
Chris works in his basement. And while I was talking with him, there were thumps of children moving around upstairs. So I wanted to know if working remotely has improved his own personal life.
Oh, I think it's a great deal. It saves time. I'm here teleworking today. And just as a family man with three young kids, I was able to spend an extra 30 minutes with my family this morning before I came down to my office. And I'll be able to spend an extra 30 to 45 minutes this evening with them when I should have been commuting and I should have been out in traffic. And this just allows me to spend a lot more positive time with them and not get home and be complaining about the commute or get home and be stressed that I have to do other things quickly in order to spend time with my kids.
Is that the biggest benefit you see? More family time?
Absolutely. I see family time as being one of those huge benefits that if I can spend an extra 2 hours a day with my kids, it really helps me to be closer to them, to become a more active father in their lives. It also, for me, is a savings on the roads. So it saves me gas. I think what I've looked at is saving about $70 in gas each month, which is a huge benefit. I can turn around and use that money in different ways. It saves my car the wear and tear on the road and saves the air, the pollution that my car is putting out. I don't drive an electric vehicle, so it's helping me to be able to save that CO2 getting into the air. And it also allows for flexibility into my living. If me and my wife there and choose to where we want to live, my wife's from Bear Lake and we've had discussions of, is that a place that we ultimately want to live and raise our kids? And by teleworking, it gives me that flexibility.
But an office is sort of ingrained into our culture. At the very least, I associate work with an office. Chris says the state does too, mostly. So in order to fully adopt teleworking, there has to be a cultural shift.
It's definitely going to be a cultural change for a lot of agencies. And it's not going to be, like Chris Cox said yesterday, it's not going to be a fit for every state employee. You still need correctional officers to be at the jail. You still need DMV workers to be at the DMV to help with those licenses and those requirements. But I think for a lot of state workers, it will provide a benefit to them in some capacity. For those that will be able to work from home, they'll be more productive. They can get things done. For those that are going to stay in the office, some of those distractions will go away. One of the biggest distractions that we know is in the office space is the coworker that just wants to come and chat or tell a story to another coworker, even when one coworker is trying to work. And by allowing everybody to be able to work more freely, it's just going to create a more productive work environment for everyone.
Interesting, yeah. I feel like that's a lot of benefit to an office environment, though. Like that sense of camaraderie, or that we're all in this together because you are physically adjacent to these people. Do you lose any of that in your basement office?
I personally don't think I lose that at all. Is just being present with someone doesn't mean that you're going to have that connection with them. Any connection that you're going to have with someone personally takes work. It takes the ability to actually communicate with them. In fact, some of the issues that I've seen in my staff are when my staff aren't communicating with each other. And teleworking makes them, like I said before, makes them be a lot more deliberate, makes them be more efficient in their communication, and makes them work at that. Each week, we have our staff meeting every Wednesday. And at that staff meeting, those that are in the office, we come and sit in front of a table, and there's 10 of us. And then on the computer screen, through the Google Meetings, there's another 28 or another 20 that are remotely available. And we have discussions. It's a free discussion point. Those that are online are expected to participate just like they're there. And we're able to have those communications. And I've heard other divisions say that they treat everything the same. So when it's somebody's birthday in the office, they bring everybody together through a Google meeting and they sing happy birthday. And it allows for that those people still still to connect and still be part of that organization without necessarily having to be present.
That cultural shift isn't limited to how the government functions within itself, but also how we, as private individuals, interact with the government.
And being in procurement, I get to see a lot of these things come down, and being a part of what I look for is saying, where are we going? In fact, I think what you just mentioned is going to happen, and it's not going to take 10 years for us to do it. There's been bills that have been looked at in Utah about digitalizing our driver's licenses. And I worked with several legislators to get them information about what other states are doing. If you look at the state of Louisiana, they have a digital license. They have a digital driver's license that may be more effective than our paper copies. And I think as you look at that, you can get a whole lot more done, and there's a lot more security in doing that than there was 10 years ago, 2 years ago even. And I think as this new technology advances, absolutely, I think you're going to have a lot of opportunities to allow more and more people to maybe not have to interact face-to-face with the government, that they'll be able to do everything by a click of a mouse or a swipe of a finger on their phone. And we're starting to see other states do that.
Do you like that? Do you like that? As a citizen who also has to interact with the government, is that appealing to you?
I like that feature because I think there have been studies that state that a younger generation wants to interact with their government in their own terms, kind of like the way they've been raised and we've been raised, is that as you see more and more people work with their smartphones, they want to be able to email their government. They want to be able to access their government through an app. They want to be able to have 24/7 access to their government. Whether that, even if that's with a chat bot that's going to be able to get them the information later on, it's available to them. It's everything there is available to them. But I think there still needs to be that role of government to be there for the citizens at all time. And I don't fully ever expect that anything in government will be taken away because all government workers are teleworking. I still think there needs to be that connection for those that need it. I think one of the biggest issues with government is that the average citizen doesn't know what level of government that they need to deal with. Do they need to be dealing with their local government, the city, the county, the state, the federal government? And I think, and it takes a lot of work to find out exactly who you need to be working with. And I think by implementing some sort of a simple chat like that would be very helpful to help those citizens know who they need to interact with and where they need to go and who they need to call. Is I think there's always going to be that human touch with government that needs to remain. But I think teleworking is not going to take that away. I think teleworking is only going to amplify that. As you've heard, I've already had two calls come in as you've been in this room. I'm available. I'm actually more available here in my basement than I am at my office. It feels like if I'm in my office, I've always got someone coming into my office to talk. I'm always being pulled into a meeting. But when I'm here, I'm able to accomplish exactly what needs to be done. Whether that's answer the phone call, respond to emails, I can get it done quickly and efficiently.
Chris says that, for the time being, we still need some government jobs to be physical. We still need cops, jailers, and judges. They aren't going away anytime soon. But he also says he sees a future of online chats with the DMV, or paperless driver's licenses. And teleworking just might be the first step into an almost completely digital government.
And again, the pilot program where 136 state government employees worked from home for at least 3 days a week is being expanded to include up to 2,500 people, nearly 10% of the state workforce, and maybe more after that.
Do you see any problem with teleworking? Is it something you'd like to do yourself? Tell us what you think. Weigh in at the In the Hive show post at KCPW's Facebook page.
In the Hive is a production of KCPW, a listener-supported independent public radio resource. Our theme music is by Andrew Shaw. You can find podcasts of this and all of KCPW's local programs at our website, kcpw.org. I'm Roger McDonough.
I'm Tim Pierce.
Thanks for listening.